We begin today with a new reading on financial insecurity. I'm David Brancaccio. Just 44% of us have $1,000 of savings on hand in case of emergency. That's from a new survey from Bankrate.com. The savings rate, which went up earlier in pandemic, has been falling for months now. Marketplace's Justin Ho has details.
Many people were able to stash money away early in the pandemic because they were getting government relief aid, and that's no longer available, says Gregory Dacco, chief economist at EY Parthenon.
We have not seen any more rounds of checks being mailed out to families. We have not seen any renewal in the expanded unemployment benefits.
And even though the labor market is stronger now, many lost their jobs in the last couple of years and have had to find new ones. That can make it difficult to save money, says Greg McBride at Bankrate.com.
It takes time to rebuild that emergency savings that may have been burned through during a period of unemployment or reduced work hours.
The Bankrate survey found that some people say they'd have to borrow to cover a big emergency expense.
20% said they would need to use a credit card and pay it off over time. 10% said they would have to borrow from family members or friends.
And nearly half of respondents said that higher prices are causing them to save less. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
We entered this week with the average cost for a home loan pushing 4% for a 30-year fixed rate. We came into the month close to 3%, so that's a jump. The Fed is likely to start raising interest rates the month after next. Meanwhile, there are other challenges in the real estate market, the availability of construction workers and materials. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has that.
Even though the price of construction materials was up nearly 20% in the past year, home builders remain very optimistic, according to the latest survey. One reason, says analyst Ken Leon at CFRA, is the eagerness of would-be home buyers, with jobs plentiful and incomes rising.
We're seeing strong demand across the board, whether it's entry-level, move-up, or luxury. One of the frustrations in affordability is the crowding out of new home buyers and millennials coming from investors that are putting cash down.
Rising mortgage rates will hurt affordability even more. Another thing that's changing, the geography of new construction. Robert Dietz at the National Association of Home Builders says early in the pandemic, everyone wanted to move to the outer suburbs and beyond. But lately,
we saw demand return in the inner suburb type environments and even in the urban cores,
feeding a boom in apartment and townhouse construction. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers. The 10-year interest rate is up at 1.89% now. S&P futures are up 0.2%. NASDAQ futures are plus 0.3%.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
This week marks a year since Joe Biden took office. Today, a look at energy and climate policy a year in. Many of those focused on climate change praised parts of the bipartisan infrastructure bill with its clean energy incentives. But Biden's separate package, dubbed Build Back Better, with $500 billion to mitigate climate change, has stalled. Here's Marketplace's Andy Euler.
Back in November, President Biden signed a more than $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill that included some $50 billion to help communities recovering from natural disasters and to prepare those more susceptible to climate change. Jason Bordoff, co-founding dean of Columbia University's Climate School, says that bill's passage was a win for the administration's climate agenda.
It's not sufficient, but it had a lot of really important provisions in it from a clean energy standpoint and a U.S. economic competitiveness standpoint.
One thing baked into that bill is money to hire more people to combat climate change. The Department of Energy is using some of it to create a clean energy corps, recruiting 1,000 staffers to focus on things like clean energy development, climate mitigation, and adaptation strategy.
More capacity, the more people we have at agencies like the Department of Energy and others to assist American companies in leading the clean energy transition, the better off we're going to be.
Bordoff and others say the infrastructure bill alone is not sufficient because it does very little to actually curb greenhouse gas emissions. Money specifically allocated to do that can be found in the Build Back Better Act, the bill that's still in limbo in Congress after West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin commented that he's worried about the bill's price tag. But Leah Stokes at UC Santa Barbara says that bill's passage is paramount to the Biden agenda.
The Build Back Better Act has $555 billion of investments in everything from clean energy to manufacturing jobs for displaced fossil fuel workers to cleaning up dirty air from ports. And all of that investment will be transformative in terms of taking on the climate crisis.
The Biden administration is trying to take on the climate crisis while inflation is affecting people's pocketbooks and a global energy shortage has oil prices above $80 a barrel. People start paying attention to energy policy when it affects how much they pay to fill up their cars with gasoline or heat their homes in the winter. Michael Greenstone is a professor of economics at the University of Chicago. He says a cleaner energy transition is coming, but the reality is the world still uses fossil fuels. That's not going to change overnight. He says the Biden administration's approach should be cut and dry economics.
I think the right way to think about the problem is, can we make progress on it? Can we do things where the benefits exceed the costs?
He says we have to remember that the climate crisis is a global problem. The United States should leverage carbon reductions it's making at home for commitments from other countries. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And it is an Australian tradition to welcome young travelers who come to backpack through the country's vast expanse. Now Australia is urging these visitors to do some work while they're passing through. Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison said he's cancelling the fee for visitors to apply for work permits, something that now costs the equivalent of $450. The reason? There are loads of jobs open in farming, hotels, and restaurants, with so many locals infected with coronavirus. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.